Jamie and Locker with you here on a Monday. After a very eventful weekend, if you were a member of Rider Nation, it started Friday night. You might have showed up to the park around 6, 6:30. Got a little bit of a notification. Oh, 45-minute delay. They'll start at 7:15 with a warm-up, 7:45 kickoff. Okay. Oh, they extended the $5 beer special. Sweet. Swing. And then the wind stopped and the smoke stayed. And then you stayed.
There was also this urban heat bubble caused by the...
That's in winter. That is a winter phenomenon. Anyways, meteorologist Locker
and Spence, who's also a pilot.
Oh, maybe you should have flown a prop plane over the stadium to get the wind moving, to get the smoke out. But you stayed and you waited and you waited. And they made another announcement and saying, oh, we're good. Once the smoke clears, 30 minutes. And that was what, around 7:30?
That was, yes, about the 2.5 hour mark of your pregame show.
And then you waited. And you then there wasn't another announcement until after 9 o'clock.
I actually think that's the lack of a protocol and sort of a definitive, rule about handling that situation is a CFL issue. That's a problem. They need to deal with that. But also in the building, there should have been more announcements and like on the Twitter account and stuff. But I'll tell you, I have a theory. Okay. Can I tell you my theory about how everything happened on Friday? You love my theories.
I know, but anyways, go ahead.
This is a societal issue.
Societal?
It is. No. Okay. At least once or twice a week, I am involved in a conversation where I'm like, what are we doing here? We overthink everything now. And people in control overthink everything. And they're like, oh, if we do this, but what if that happens? Oh, no, we can't do that. This is going to happen or none of that. So your people are frozen.
Welcome to my brain. Anyways.
We can't get out of our own way. Right? Somebody should have just walked in there and said, we're doing this. I don't care what the ramifications are. We're canceling the game. Send everybody home at 9. We'll reschedule tomorrow.
The smoke ain't moving, guys.
Right? Now, somebody go down and figure out where all the Stampeders are going to stay. Right? We got a broadcast crew to take care of. We got fans that flew in here on a charter plane. We got the media. We got to take care of them. Someone, can we put them up in a dorm somewhere? All of this should have been done. And it should have been taken care of, but everybody freezes because no one is willing to make a decision
anymore.
Because
they were all sitting there with their fingers crossed that the wind was going to pick back up and blow the smoke out. And they're going, come on, wind.
That doesn't explain them not making the announcements, though, that they should have been making on. I think my theory explains that. Everyone's too scared to make a decision because they're all so worried about what the ramifications are going to be.
My theory was they were just hoping the wind picked up again. The wind's going to pick up. Come on, let's go. Oh, the smoke's only 30 kilometers out and then it'll just blow. Come on, wind. Yeah. You can do it. And meanwhile, you wait until 10:30 when they finally said, never mind, go home, come back tomorrow at 2. And then, do you know who showed up at 2 o'clock? Some of the fans, a lot of the fans did. The Calgary Stampeders did.
I did.
Locker was there. I was there. Did another 4 hours of radio with Belton and Daryl. Belton cooked again, by the way.
Oh, you were going to give him your top grade. That's a fail.
I gave it to the fans.
Should have given it to Belton.
The Riders laid an absolute egg against what is a very good Calgary Stampeder team. 1-877-332-8255. We are opening up the fan line here on the Green Zone. Now let's go to Neil. Neil, what were you thinking about? Were you there on Friday night?
Oh, man, was I there. here's a little bit of background. I'm 72 years old. I've been a fan since I was a kid. We live up in Big River, so it's a six-hour drive one way. We try and make it to one or two games a year. This was our game. We got up in the morning. We drove all the way to Regina. The first half of the drive, the smoke was like soup. As we got to Regina, we felt comfortable with it. No one else seemed to down there. But And on the way, we saw highways workers working. We saw farmers out in the field. We saw construction people up on buildings working away. We get to Regina. We go to the game. The cheerleaders cheer us on for 5 straight hours. And the players can't play in that. They play in 40 below. They play in 100 above. They play in rainstorms. I've been a diehard CFL Rider fan all of my life. I've never been so upset. We stayed overnight, an extra night, and sure, the Riders lost the next day and all that. But the CFL just shoots themselves in the foot. I've defended them and defended them. I've had it. We won't be going to another game this year for sure. And I just can't believe what happened there. It's okay for the cheerleaders to be out there breathing that smoke for 5 hours, but the players can't? Give me a break.
Well, Neil, and I mentioned this earlier, and I can understand that frustration,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, the kids were out playing baseball in it. All these, and the Riders can't?
Yeah.
It is in the collective bargaining agreement. It is an agreement with the when you got a union and a league doing business together,
yeah,
you cannot violate that. You can't. They can't do it.
Well, I didn't drive 6 hours to the game. It is a
health and safety issue.
Like Neil, though. I get that frustration. I understand it.
But I understand it looks like hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Well, wait. It's a health and safety issue for the players, but not the cheerleaders?
Yes.
Well, the cheerleaders don't have a union that dictates what the air quality has to be for them to perform. That's the difference. In this is the logistics of having a CBA and an agreed upon policy between the players and the league.
The irony of this is, I bet you, I can feel your pain.
If you pulled the room, if you walked into that locker room for the Stampeders and the Riders,
they
and said,
played.
It's above 8, it's at 10.
You guys
want to play anyways? They would have said, yeah, let's go.
You would have had every single one of them out there on the field. Yeah.
But you can't do that. You can't.
And somebody, Neil, somebody made the decision at some point along the way that was the cutoff, and then legally they can't.
Well, it was interesting. I watched the WCBL. I looked at their policy is at 10, actually.
Yeah. But they have a similar rule, right? Mm-hmm. So if it would have been a 10, that game would have happened on Friday because the CFL webpage was showing a 9, 9, 5, 9, 4, 9, 3, 9, 2. Like it was all around the nines right through till 10 o'clock. And then I checked it when we got home too, because I stayed up to see if the game was going to go. Because if it was going to go, I was just going to watch it on TV. And then at I can't remember when they made the final call. I think it was just before 10:45.
Another thing that ticked fans off was watching the TV crews and the team crews go out before they were told they weren't playing. They watched people go out and like start tearing stuff down, and they're like, "Wait, what?
What are you guys?
They haven't
doing?
Announced anything yet. Should we go home now, or what's going on?"
Yeah, they need to do a bit, but you know what? We're going to rerun the interview that you did with Stuart Johnson, the new commissioner, the CFO. We're going to run that before we finish today, so hang on for that. But in his message to everybody, it was clear that they realized the mistakes they've made, and the communication was a big one. And that was the one thing. I mean, you can't control the weather, right? You can't you can't do anything about that. You can't change the rule on the fly. You can't go down there and pull the players and go, "Do you guys want to go?" You just can't. So it didn't happen because of the rules that they have in place in that regard. But I think that down the road, they will do a better job of communicating, you know, and the messaging in a game situation like that, because I doubt this is going away anytime soon.
Well, let's go back to the fan line. Glenn, what are you thinking about with the Riders' first loss of the season and the debacle on Friday night?
Okay. A friend of mine, the guy I works with, his kid is, play university ball with some of the players on both teams, but apparently inside the Stampeder locker room, from what I hear, is that they were told by the CFL drop dead deadline 3 hours. If it isn't ready to go 3 hours after the game starts, the game will be called. and then they try and reschedule the game or have a mini game. Thank God they didn't have a mini game, that they got to play the game the next day. But from what he said, there was pushback from the Stampeders locker room that no, they, you know, personnel in the Stampeders, the players, they all wanted to play.
And that might actually explain, Glenn, the postponement at the end. And you know what? I also heard that it was the Riders were also, they really wanted to get that game going so that there was like, hey, there was a conversation, if we wait till 10:45 and it clears, you guys want to go. And
well, that's
that,
it, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what I heard that did the same thing, is that it, over in the Riders' dressing room, the players felt the same way, to hell with what the league was saying about 3 hours. So that's what the extra time was. But, and also the CFL was following you heard that they were checking with 15 wing about the weather at the base. And oh, yeah, it's nice and clear in Moose Jaw, so they're hoping it'll clear out, and then the wind just died down. And then, you know, it was what it was. But thank God, like, I guess, and I asked the guy today, so what was, if they couldn't reschedule the game, what was option three? And they actually had option three, which was at the game in Calgary, Saskatchewan versus Calgary, there would be some sort of mini game. Would have really sucked.
Well, it was interesting because the players were reading the policy that's on the website. And the policy is clear on the website. 3 hours, then if you can't go and the game's not decided, there'll be a mini game in Calgary. And that's how, you know, Britton was sending. And I said it a few times. I'm like, I'm not sure, guys, this is the policy, because this is
or
all
this
about
situation.
This is about delay in the game. I don't know if there's
this
a policy
didn't even get going
in place for before kickoff because the game didn't get going.
Because of the 30-minute requirement as well, which is also a rule, the teams are allowed 30 minutes to prepare before a game, so they have to allow for that a lot of time.
Yes.
So that also is
included.
Legally, it's a binding rule for the league, right?
That the players require at least
30 minutes to warm up.
30 minutes to warm up. Yeah. So you threw all that in there, and it was like, oh, okay. Then all the players were finding out in real time, oh, that's not the policy. There is no policy. Wait, there's no policy? There's no policy on if a ball never
so
gets kicked in the air.
They got to fix that.
That they could have they literally could have waited all night. There was no rule stopping them and saying, we're just going to wait until it clears up. And what? It's midnight? Don't care. We're kicking her off. There's no policy stopping them from doing that. I think that'll change this week.
Well, I also...
because wildfire smoke ain't going away in Western Canada. Saskatoon's living it, and it looks like it's making its way back down to the south of Saskatchewan.
I think also, too, that we should get at least one beer per hour we have to wait for a game that doesn't get started. That should be binding.
Now, the Riders have gone out with gifts for those, like, on your account, your ticket account, you'll get, if you are a single ticket buyer, for every ticket you had, you will get a voucher
for
a future game. And season ticket holders, because you already have tickets for future games, it is $50 credit to the Rider store for each ticket on your account.
I don't hate that. I like that.
It's something.
It's something. I was joking about the beer, kind of. But it, I, again... They can't do anything. There's going to be a faction of the population that's always going to be upset, and I understand it. And you got to feel for a guy like Neil, right? That, I mean, him and his family driving 6 hours in from Big River, and I mean that just makes that whole weekend. It just ruins your whole weekend, right? And then to show up on Saturday and watch that game.
Coming up here on the Green Zone, we have an update from Milt Stegall of the CFL on TSN, of course, continuing to grieve the death of his son unexpectedly a few months ago. What's new with Milt? We'll tell you next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. As I mentioned, there's some news from Milt Stegall just moments ago. Milt Stegall, who lost his son, Chase, a few months ago, has posted on social media he will be back this week with the CFL on TSN. Kick it off Thursday night with Toronto and Montreal. Friday night football, the panel will be on the road in Winnipeg, and that's where he can't wait to get to, his second home of Winnipeg, Manitoba, of course, where he was a star of the Bombers So it's the Bombers and the Stampeders. Then it'll be back in studio for Saturday, Riders and BC Lions, and then, of course, the Tiger Cats and the Red Blacks. He says this return means a lot. It comes with a heavy heart, but I know Chase would want me doing what I do, showing up with passion, purpose, and having some fun with this game and this crew. I appreciate all your support. Let's talk football. Let's celebrate life, and let's have some fun. Hashtag paper plates, which was a hashtag. It's an inside joke from he and his late son, Chase, that he doesn't talk about. Even his wife doesn't know what paper plates means. So Milt Stegall back on the panel.
That's awesome.
Thursday night. No way. Hey, Locker, what are you going to do October 7th?
I don't know.
You're going to be watching the Florida Panthers raise their Stanley Cup banner for the second year in a row.
Is that the Blackhawks game? That's their first one?
That's the first game of the NHL season, October 7th. Put it on your calendars, ladies and gentlemen.
I hope it falls from the rafter and hits a Kachuk.
Wow, you're not bitter at all, are you?
No, not at all.
Too straight? What, that stings a little? October 7th, the NHL season begins. The Panthers and the Blackhawks in Florida.
All three. They get all three back. All three.
Marchand, Sam Bennett, Ekblad, all back for the Florida Panthers. Will it be a three-peat? Haven't seen that in a long time.
Well, the one good news is the good news is we're not going to see Kachuk probably until 2026. He's going to need to be repaired and ready to go for the Olympics. So there's no way he's going to try to come back for the playoffs. He's going to want to be skating in Italy in 2026. So he's going to go under the knife here as soon as they stop partying in the next 2 weeks. And when they get that done, he'll be off. So we won't have to deal with him for the first half of the season anyway.
Meanwhile, the full NHL schedule will be released midweek Wednesday. They just announced some of the teaser dates, including that opener with the Panthers and the Blackhawks to get the season started and the banner raised in South Florida. Also, some news came down for CFL fans. Milt Stegall has announced that he will return to the panel this week. Of course, he and his family have been mourning the loss of his son, Chase.
I miss him on the panel.
Months ago, and he's the personality.
Yeah, he's great. He's really good on the panel.
He's so good.
It's not bad without him, but it's definitely a missing piece right now.
So Milt Stegall returns this week to the CFL on TSN. Speaking of the Canadian Football League, I was able, and I thank him for taking the time this weekend, was able to talk to the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, Stuart Johnston, about what went down and what needs to change from Friday night and the weather delay.
Why it was, we were venturing into unknown territory. We have policies. Unfortunately, we've had to put policies in place because wildfire and wildfire smoke has become a little more commonplace than I think any of us would like. And maybe I should start by wishing all the folks that are directly impacted by the wildfires all of our best as they look to save homes and relocate and deal with some devastation. I mean, really, what we experienced is nothing compared to that. But in terms of football, yes, it was quite a situation. We knew as of Thursday there could be an issue. Friday, we monitored all day. We got to the point where we thought, you know, there might be a delay, but every stadium is equipped with real-time air quality sensors. We developed a policy in place that says players, you know, can't play if it's at an 8 or above. And it was hovering above that, but we have incredible meteorologists and some of the best in the country right there in Regina. And we were just monitoring wind patterns, seeing what was happening in Moose Jaw and trying to extrapolate where that would land. And at the same time, manage an incredibly impatient fan base that was in the stadium. So it was a lot going on at once, for sure.
Was there no policy about a rescheduling? Like, there's a lot of policies about if there's a delay during a game, it can only go 3 hours, it can only do this. Is it play it by ear if there's no kickoff, Stu?
We did not have a policy in place if the game never started. So that is something we are going to look at. I got to stress, for a lot of stakeholders, there's tons of collaboration. You know, we developed this policy that we do have in conjunction with the CFLPA. And from the player standpoint, the clubs, their coaching staff, the Calgary, the visiting team, the broadcaster, the league, it, you know, the fans, security, we want to get that game played. It is an incredible lift to postpone a game and take all of the logistics and move it to another day, even if it is 18 hours later. And so all of us, I think everyone involved, wanted to get that game played. And so we were giving as much time as we could, and then finally just had to say, this isn't going to change, and we've got to go to plan B.
Stuart Johnston, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, here on the Green Zone. There was about a two-hour gap, Stu, where there was an announcement or closer to that 7:45-ish or 7:30, about a half an hour, and then nothing until 9:30, 9:45, until that 10:45 deadline. Why was that gap? Why not any communication for those 2 hours?
I'll just go come back and say, we've got to make sure we're communicating often and as transparently as possible. Now, does that mean we update every 10 minutes with no change? No, I don't think that makes sense. But I would, and did, we talked about erring on the side of over-communicating. Now, I'm going to say that we've lots of learning. I'm very proud of all the stakeholders, the league, the clubs, the players, the fans. I mean, really everyone did their best to try and manage this, and the broadcaster. But I you know, one thing I think we as a league could do better is make sure we are communicating at the right cadence. But even more importantly, I think, is specifics and detail within those communications. I think we were talking too much in generalities. I think we should have said, hey, as a reminder, the air quality index has to be at 7 or below. It's currently at 10. The winds are blowing at 5 kilometers an hour. This would lead us to believe that within an hour, we should be okay. I mean, you know, that's not exactly what happened, but you know what? I'm just giving an example. I think it would have been much more informative for the fans had we delivered that type of message, so they knew exactly what we were looking at. I would go as far as saying, hey, we were looking at moose jaw. All our meteorologists said the moose jaw situation should extrapolate here to Regina, and that's why we're looking at an hour delay, and we think it'll happen. And then when the winds just died, we should have said specifically the winds went from X kilometers an hour to Y. So I think that was definitely a learning experience for us.
When you talk about a policy, I'm just curious, behind the scenes logistically, I imagine in that span, you needed to find accommodation for the Stampeders, security. How much was going on behind the scenes the fans may not even be considering on what led from 7:30? It looks like we're good to go to, hey, there's a drop dead time, and then all of a sudden, of course, it's a 2 o'clock kickoff.
An incredible amount began, I think, once we missed that hour delay. And then we were, you know, I think as we were incredibly focused on how do we get the game in, you start to prepare for where can we go if it doesn't. And that's, you know, talking to the broadcaster, certainly talking to the visiting team, figuring out the fans, figuring out the logistics of security. And that, all those things you just referenced are why we want to get a game played on the day it's scheduled to be played. It's just so logistically difficult to move a game for all of those moving parts. You know, these are the things that you all have to take into account, but I would say probably it was happening simultaneously as we were trying to get that game played.
What's the main takeaway, Stuart, from a CFL head office and even team perspective with the Riders and the Stampeders?
I think that we're going to review with our management council, which includes the presidents of all clubs. We have a meeting next week, already previously scheduled. We certainly have some new agenda items now.
Yeah, and
I'd say here are a couple. Well, one takeaway is what I told you. We as a league, I want us communicating with granularity on specifics of what we're looking at. So people aren't just like, you know, wondering what is the policy? What is going on? So I think that's an immediate takeaway for us. But I think we need to also look at, if a game was scheduled in prime time locally, then how late is it? Should how late can we go before we call it? I think we should. You know, that could be very different than if a game was scheduled at 1 p.m. local on a Saturday. Because then I think, how do we communicate in that situation? And what are our options? I think reentry. And there was a lot of talk about the fans who had to stay in the stadium. And I think we've got to figure out what is the right call for a reentry situation. You know, I can tell you one of the main jobs of the league is we want to keep our fans safe. And so from a security standpoint, it's not as easy as it sounds as to just, oh, let everyone leave and come back in. There are a lot of security components to that. So let's work on that as well. So I think that, you know, communication, you know, timing before a cancellation, possible reentry rules, all of those are places we're going to go with discussion.
There was some discussion that for the players and player safety, how could you ask a player to kick off at 11:15 and end a game at about 2 a.m.? How much will that be have to be put in place on a, okay, what is the latest we can go for player safety?
I'm happy to have that conversation with the players union. That wasn't raised really as a significant piece to this. We knew the players wanted to stay safe and play in the proper air quality, but they wanted to play. And I don't know if that was a significant thought process. It was, I think they were just ready to play. Let me get warmed up and let me go. So I don't know what the specifics might be in terms of playing at midnight and what that does from a player safety standpoint. I don't know what the answer is to that.
What would you say to the fans? There were those who were there at about 6:30 and were there right until 10:45 when they called it.
The first thing I want to say is thank you. Thank you for your passion for the league. Thank you for your patience during a very difficult time, and thank you for you know, being safe and riding that out with us as we handled an unprecedented situation. We're incredibly grateful for our fans, what they showed was just that they're an incredible group. My commitment is to make sure that we are communicating as specifically as possible going forward.
That is one major change they're already contemplating this week for the Canadian Football League, is the communications aspect.
Yeah.
Of just saying, this is what we're looking at. The winds have died down. It might take a while, and here are our contingency plans, and we're coming up with contingency plans. If we need to reschedule this game, we have a window open. I talked to someone. Here's the thing, because there's stuff going on in the press box behind the scenes that we can't really report on until it's made official, right?
Right.
But upstairs, they were talking about that 2:00 Saturday already on kind of, well, just so you know, they're looking at a window that, like, if it is tomorrow, it might be, but they didn't want to say anything publicly because it was a might. We think it might work at 2:00. We're looking into that.
But I also think there's got to be a way to communicate. I mean, without giving away what the plan is, there still has to be some attempt from the team and the league to update the people that are sitting there waiting for a football game.
Absolutely.
That's the unfortunate part about this whole thing. And I'm at least appreciative of the fact that they're aware that that was one of the, you know, major, you know, stumbling points this Saturday or this Friday.
Coming up next, our game of the night on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Our game of the night Well, it's not actually a game. Well, it's kind of a game. Home Run Derby going tonight. 8 participants, including Cal Raleigh, who leads the league with 38 home runs.